First daughters Jenna and Barbara Bush and first daughter hopefuls Vanessa and Alexandra Carey are all out on the campaign trail these days pursuing votes for their dads. Throughout history in the U.S., daughters have been involved in their presidential fathers' careers. Fresh evidence on the pages of a new book, a collection of letters exchanged by first daughters and their fathers. And the collection is edited by a father-daughter team. NPR special correspondent Susan Stamberg takes a look and a listen to the correspondence.
One of the shortest letters is also the most dramatic.
Dear Daddy, I love you.
The reader is Anne Gewalt, who edited the letter collection.
Whatever you do, I will support. I am very proud of you. Please wait a week or even 10 days before you make this decision. Go through the fire just a little bit longer. You are so strong.
Julie Nixon Eisenhower wrote that letter to her father on August 6, 1974. 2 days later, Richard Nixon gave his response to the nation.
I have never been a quitter. To leave office before my term is completed is abhorrent to every instinct in my body. But as president, I must put the interests of America first.
The book, First Daughters, Letters Between U.S. Presidents and Their Daughters, is a mix of affection, admonition, appreciation. Some of the letters are didactic. Gerard Gewalt, as editor of this collection, you picked a letter that Thomas Jefferson wrote to his oldest daughter, Martha. The year was 1783, and in it he outlines a plan for her education. He's very specific. Could you read his little list, please?
From 8 to 10 o'clock, practice music. From 10 to 1, dance one day and draw another. From 1 to 2, draw on the day you dance and write a letter the next day. From 3 to 4, read French. From 4 to 5, exercise yourself in music.
And Jefferson closes with a P.S. Keep my letters and read them at times, that you may always have present in your mind those things which will endear you to me.
I think it is consistent with a lot of Jefferson's letters to his young daughters. He was constantly using guilt, including the death of their mother, to get them to obey. Mm. Keep in mind, at this point, he's a single father, and he is trying to ensure from a distance that they get the upbringing that they will need, not only to be fine young women in society eligible for marriage, but also to take over his plantation and to assist him in running it.
Do we learn anything about these extremely public people from the letters that we didn't know before that are surprising?
When we often think of these public figures, you don't often think of John Adams consulting with his daughter Abigail about political aspects, or you don't think about Martha Johnson helping her father Andrew through his impeachment proceedings, and Anna Roosevelt helping Franklin Roosevelt in his reelection campaigns.
But in fact, the letters show that this kind of support was there. These were topics between them.
Yes, they were, and they were very prominent topics and very common.
And in most cases, do you get the feeling they were writing for history?
I think in most cases they were just writing heart to heart. We actually tried to leave out posterity letters in favor of more open and candid letters.
There's a very touching one from 1954. Ronald Reagan. The father was an actor then. He was making a movie in Montana, and here's what he wrote to his then 21-month-old baby, Patty. We'll have an actor read this.
I'm counting on you to take care of Mommy and keep her safe for me, because there wouldn't be any moon or stars in the sky without her. The breeze would whisper no secrets, and the warmth would go out of the sun.
Anne Gewalt?
I think it's beautiful. I also, when I read it the first time, I can remember watching Patty Davis on TV describing her parents' love and how large it was. And you get to see a great glimpse of it in this letter.
Fathers and daughters all write about the busyness of the presidency. The fathers are quite aware of this, and often they will write with guilt about it. Senator Harry Truman, in 1941, here America is on the verge of war, and he sends this to his 15-year-old daughter, Margaret. Could you read this, Gerard?
I wish I could be a real nice dad, but you know, with all this terrible emergency and the awful political fights your dad has had ever since you were born, there hasn't been much chance to be the right kind of dad. I am most happy, however, with a sensible, beautiful young lady for a daughter, and that's because she's had the right sort of mother.
Again, a tip of the hat to the other member of the family there.
Yes, Margaret Truman was one of those who wrote specifically about the fact that her father wrote nice, chatty letters to her in the absence of his presence.
Anne and Gerard Gewalt, as we've explained, you are a father-daughter team. What has that been like, working together on correspondence like this? Anne, you're smiling.
Well, I've always been a great admirer of my father, but my dad's a very independent worker. We've had some challenges, but just like, you know, Harry Truman or others would refer to their mother, my father would always refer to my mother and get her to mediate some of these things.
The idea for the book was Anne's, and she's had many of the more insightful views of the letters, so it's really been a process of my learning as much as anything else.
Thank you very much. Gerard Gewalt and his daughter Anne are the editors of First Daughters, Letters Between U.S. Presidents and Their Daughters. Most of the letters were picked from the vast collection of presidential holdings at the Library of Congress. I'm Susan Stamberg, NPR News, Washington.